ready. I'm ready to talk about the attributes of God. The attributes of God. I apologize that our technology isn't working, but we're going to go old school here, mostly. All right, an attribute. An attribute is a quality or feature regarded as a characteristic or inherent part of someone or something. I'm going to say it again. An attribute is a quality or feature regarded as a characteristic or inherent part of someone or something. A quality or feature regarded as a characteristic or inherent part of someone. What are some of your attributes? Think about it for a minute. What's an inherent part of you? What is a characteristic of you? Alright? Now we're going to think about that same thing about God. Because how many believe that people can have false impressions about God? Have you ever had a false impression about God? How many have thought that God is mean? How many thought that God has a big iron staff there, and as soon as you make a mistake, he's ready to throw lightning bolts at you? What's your impression of God? If we don't understand who God really is, then it can affect our relationship. So it's really important that we understand who God is. In the past, we've talked about God as the Father. Amen? We've heard of God as the Father. Do you ever call God your Father?
Yes.
Can you call God your Father?
Amen, yes.
Not just anybody can call God Father. Did you know that? That would be like some little kid on the street walking up to me, tugging on my shorts, going, "Daddy, Daddy." I'm looking at him going, "You ain't my kid. I love you. I care about you. I want you to be safe. But guess what? You cannot call me Daddy." The only way that you, little person, can be call me Daddy is if I adopt you. If you be adopted into my family, or if you come out of my loins. Amen? So not just anybody can call God Father. So we've been looking at, that's one of the attributes of God, that he's a Father. Right? God had a one and only begotten Son, who was the firstborn among many brethren. So God had a Son, and he became the firstborn among many who then were adopted and became his brothers and sisters. Amen? I'm one of Jesus' brothers. I don't know if you knew that or not. I have a big brother that cannot compare with any of anybody else's big brother. I don't care how good your big brother is, he cannot compare with my big brother. Unless we're talking about the same guy. Jesus, that's another attribute of God, isn't it? A big brother. I mean, there's one way you approach God as a father. Don't you talk to Daddy a certain way? You have a relationship with your daddy. But there's another way where you talk to your big brother. It's a different relationship, isn't it? But that's still part of God's characteristic, that he can be a big brother. Jesus is our big brother. And then another characteristic that we've been talking about. Now, I'm just reflecting on what we've been talking about over the last 5 years. Who is God? What are his attributes? He's a Father, he's our big brother, and he's also the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, we talked about it in the original language, the Paraclete, which is a come-alongside helper, a come-alongside enabler. And so we had this picture of a big lever. Have you ever pushed on something really hard? It could be a heavy car. Anybody push a car?
Yes.
Oh, man. You're by yourself, and you're pushing with all your might, and this thing does not want to get unstuck. What is it like when someone comes along your side and starts to put their weight into it with you? Especially if they're a giant. They're just this big, big... That's the picture of the Holy Spirit. The Paraclete is the one who comes alongside of you and enables you to do what you're trying to do. Amen? According to God's will. So another attribute of God is this enabler, the one who comes along our side. How many are glad for God's desire to come along your side? How many have been stuck? How many have been pushing on something? And you're so grateful when the Holy Spirit just comes along your side and enables you to do what you couldn't otherwise do by yourself. Thank God that that's one of God's characteristics. All right. Another attribute of God, and those of you that have a Bible, we're going to be in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 1. So another attribute of God is going to be found in the first three verses. The first three verses of Hebrews chapter 1 are some of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. I have focused on these three verses as much as any other verses in the whole Bible. Hebrews chapter 1, first three verses. So I just want to preach on them a little bit. Is that all right? Hebrews. Hallelujah. There's some discussion on who actually wrote the book of Hebrews. Most attribute the letter to the Hebrews to Paul, the Apostle Paul. Amen? But evidently he didn't sign his letter, so it's up for some discussion. Hebrews chapter 1, starting in verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke. Super important to know. God, who at various times and in various ways. We're talking about the attributes of God. Who is this God? What is he like? There's something we can take from this right now, that God can speak in various ways. What are some of the ways that God speaks to you? I just want to tell you something that really cool that just happened to me. I was driving. How many know if you go the back way to the big store, there's this S-curve. It's a completely blind corner. You cannot see. You can't see around the corner at all. There's woods in the way. So I'm on my way to head for the corner, and all of a sudden I got a flash of white in my mind. Just a flash of white. It was in an instant. And all of a sudden, I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me, be careful on this corner. And as soon as I got to the corner, a big, giant, white van was coming the other way on my side of the road. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke. How can God speak to you today? It's not just with a megaphone from his throne. Millie. Would you please, God does not just speak with a megaphone. He does not just speak to you just in your voice. How many have heard of the scripture that says, the still small voice? Sometimes he's whispering to you. Sometimes he's whispering to you. How does God speak to you? I remember one time I was sitting on a mountaintop and I was yelling at this mountaintop of my lungs, God, I want to hear your voice. How many want to hear God's voice?
Amen. Hallelujah.
And you know what the still small voice said, the little whisper? Why are you yelling? God, who at various times and in various ways spoke to the fathers of the Hebrews by the prophets. Okay? That's another way that God speaks. How many believe that people prophesy today? Do you think the day that prophecy is over? What do you think preaching is? Foretelling of the heart of God. Prophecy is not just predicting the future. Prophecy is not just foretelling. But prophecy is also forth-telling. It's declaring the heart of God. And I pray that I prophesy every Sunday morning. I pray that I prophesy on Monday morning. I pray that I prophesy on Tuesday morning and Tuesday afternoon and Tuesday night. I want to forth-tell the heart of God to everyone that I encounter. I want to prophesy to people. I don't want to just be going yakety, 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 yak. I want to prophesy. I want to speak the word of God. Amen?
Yes.
And I don't want it just to be like in the context of a preacher. I just, what comes out of my mouth, I desire to be out of the heart of God. I want to give an encouraging word. I just want to speak the truth into situations. Amen? Our mouth is a gift to be able to speak and allow God to speak through you to someone. By the prophets, verse 2, has in these last days, what days are you living in? Hey, it just said it right there. When Jesus came, it ushered in the last days. We are in. Don't let anybody ever kid you about this. When the last days come here, we are in the last days. Amen?
Yes.
Who has in these last days spoken to us? Who can say us? Are you part of us? He's spoken to us by his Son. The Word. John calls him, his Son, the Word in the Gospel of John. Amen? Whom he has appointed, and this is one of my favorite verses, he's appointed to be heir of all things. How many things is Jesus heir of?
All.
All. The big little word, all. It's so important that we get this. Jesus is the heir of all things. Okay? And then Ephesians, Paul, the apostle, wrote to the Ephesians, who did he say that you are? If you are Jesus' little brother or sister. Co-heirs. Jesus is the heir of all things, and you get adopted into God's family, then you become a co-heir of what? Some things. Of the leftovers. Of the crumbs. You become a co-heir with Christ. Amen? I don't know if you're getting excited or not. I haven't even gotten to the point of what I'm preaching about. I can't get through verses 1 and 2. So Jesus is appointed to become heir of all things through whom also he made the world. He made the worlds. More attributes of God. He makes stuff. He makes stuff out of nothing. God makes stuff out of nothing. He spoke. There was nothingness, and he said, let there be. God is able to speak into nothingness and say, let there be. He's a creative God. He's a powerful God, and he's able. His attributes are that he can make stuff happen. Part of the attributes, part of the nature, and one of the characteristics of this God that I'm talking about is that he made the world. He's a maker. Amen? And in Hannah's prayer on Wednesday night, we talked about it, didn't we?
Yes.
Part of what Hannah's prayer was in 1 Samuel 2:8, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world on them. Think of the designer nature of God. That one of his attributes is not only is he just a maker, but he makes all things well.
Yes.
Did you know that this earth hasn't fallen apart yet? In spite of all that we humans are trying to do to it, to break it up, it still hasn't come undone. Do you know that the earth hasn't just spun out and just started sailing through the universe? Because he makes stuff and he makes it well. How long ago did God make the universe and it is still working just as he has intended it to work?
Amen? Lord,
amen. He does all things well.
Amen.
Okay, now verse 3. Yes. Jesus, who being, and in the original language it's even better, who being the brightness of the splendor of his glory. Jesus is the brightness of the splendor of the glory of God. If you want to know what God looks like, it says that Jesus is the express image of his person. In other words, you look at a light bulb, right? And Jesus is the light that comes out of the bulb. He's the expression of the bulb. He's the splendor of the glory of God. I love that. is this Jesus? Okay, now, here's the underlined, big, bold print. And upholding all things. Now, this is the verse of the day. An attribute of God is that He can uphold all things.
Yay.
He can uphold all things by the word of His power. So, a characteristic of God is that He upholds things. It's in His nature. It's a quality. It's an inherent quality about God that He upholds things. So not only does He want to be and able to be our go-to God, who do you want to go to? Who has wanted to trust in a friend? Who has wanted to rely on someone? Maybe for a favor, for some help, or whatever it is. It's nice to be able to go to someone, isn't it? Have you ever tried to go to someone and they're not trustworthy? Have you ever tried to go to someone and they're not there? It can be hurtful, can it? It can be discouraging, frustrating. But God is and wants to be and able to be our go-to God. Because He upholds stuff.
Hallelujah.
He's not going to let something fall to the ground because He upholds it.
Hallelujah.
How many have tried to put something in somebody else's hands and they let it fall to the ground? God is not like that. It's His nature. It's His inherent quality about God that He upholds it. You give it to Him and He upholds it.
Hallelujah.
Key being, you have to give it to Him. Amen. How many have trouble letting go? Anybody? Come on. It's safer in your hands, isn't it? I have to ask you, is it your inherent quality to be an upholder? Has it been given to you by the Creator of the universe that you are the upholder? Have you ever tried to hold something up? Have you ever let something fall or fail? Whose hands are better to have your stuff in? Your own or the upholder?
Hallelujah. Yes.
Hallelujah. All things. All right, let's look at a few of them. I noticed our worship service was a little shorter today, so must mean I had more time to preach. All right. Now, talking about upholding things, think about it for a second. Have you ever noticed how fragile life is? Have you ever noticed how fragile things are? Sometimes we think things are so solid. We just start to take things for granted. It might be your education. It might be your career. It might be relationships. It might be security, financial security, whatever it is. Have you ever noticed how fragile things are? How quickly what you thought was so solid can come unraveled. What you thought you could place your hope in, what you thought you could stand on, came undone. Fell apart. You thought it was forever. You thought it was secure. You thought you could hope in it and trust in it, and it just come undone. It wasn't as rock solid as we thought. Have you ever seen that about life? How quickly can things come undone? Have you ever had a health issue? How quickly can what you thought was one thing come undone? I thought about my future. I thought about my health. I thought about this. And then all of a sudden it fell through your fingers like sand or like water. Everything you thought you could hold on to just washed right through your fingers. It comes undone pretty quick. Alright, so let's look at, with that in mind, a few things. Have you ever considered, now God, we're talking about upholding all things. Let's look at some of the all. Is God able to hold up, what's going on? Have you ever looked in the ocean? Look in the water. Have you ever seen these tiny little creatures swimming through the water? You can't even grab one with your fingers. You try to scoop it up and the water runs through your fingers and these little creatures just wash right through your fingers. The smallest of God's creatures God is able to uphold. Think about it. Those poor little creatures, they're getting tossed by the wind, they're getting tossed by the waves, the tides, big fish, little fish, everything's trying to get them. God is able to uphold that tiny little creature.
Hallelujah.
The tiniest of things God is able to uphold.
Yes, yes, hallelujah.
Because he said all things.
Right.
He is able to uphold all things. How about the greatest and the most vast thing you can think about in the universe? God is able. Let me read to you out of the book of Joshua, chapter 10. This is amazing. Then Joshua was going to battle against the enemy. Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." So the sun, of course, listened to Joshua. That happens every day for me. Sun, go down. I'm a little bit tired right now. I'd like to get an early night's rest. The sun stood still, and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like it since then, before then, or after. God is able to uphold. Who can stop the sun? Who can stop the universe? From the tiniest of creatures, God is able to uphold, to the most vast thing in creation, God is able to uphold. Amen? This is the God. We're trying to learn about his attributes. We want to get to know him more. Because if God is saying, give me your stuff, put your stuff in my hands, who's going to put your stuff in the hand that you don't trust? Amen? You don't hand your stuff over that easy. How about over life and health? Is God able to? Have you ever been challenged with life and health? Have you ever felt like you're going to die? Have you ever been worried about your health? Have you ever heard of Jairus? Jairus had a daughter who was sick, leading to death. Sent his servant to go get Jesus. And the servant went to get Jesus, said, "Please, my master's daughter's dying. Would you come, please, help?" And so Jesus, on his way, then was delayed by the woman who was sick and touched the hem of his garment. Anybody remember that story?
Yes, yes.
How many of you were in that situation that you'd be like, "Hurry up"? Maybe I'm mixing two things up. Maybe it was Jairus himself who went to get Jesus. But how many would be like, "Don't delay. You've got to get home right away. My daughter's sick." And then the servant came and said, "Oh, don't bother the master." That's what it was.
Yes.
She's already gone. Jesus proved that he's able to uphold life.
Yes.
It does not matter. Ask Lazarus that things seem to fall through the cracks. It seemed that it's too late. He's been in the grave for 4 days. It's past time. Evidently, he was able to uphold most all things. But in Lazarus' case, it just couldn't happen. He missed that one.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
All things. He's able to uphold all things. Even life.
Yay.
He's in control. Amen? How about relationships? Let's ask Joseph. Anybody have a relationship that's just passed its expiration date, long gone? Joseph must have felt like that. Amen?
Right.
He's able to uphold relationships. The ones that God has ordained, all right? I'm not suggesting anybody go pursue relationships that God has not ordained. But I'm talking about he's able to uphold relationships. Pat talked about it with covenant keepers. There are people who are holding on to a God who is able to uphold.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I gotta tell you this. How many have ever heard of Lewis and Clark? Lewis and Clark were these explorers in early American history. They went out and they ended up getting a young Native American woman. What's her name? Sacagawea? Sacagawea. Okay? So she's, as a translator, coming along with these two. Then they're confronted with the Continental Divide, and they needed further assistance. So they went, and there happened to be, how many believe in coincidences? Coincidence here. There happened to be a tribe of Native Americans there who were the same descent as Sacagawea. All right? So they went, and they grabbed the chief and said, you got to help us through this passage. And the people are like, they didn't understand. There was a communication breakdown. So Lewis and Clark, they grabbed the chief, and they took him. And all the people started mourning. They thought they took him to go kill him. And they brought him back to their camp. And when he met Sacagawea, you know who it was? His long-lost sister, who was kidnapped by some people who came through earlier. This Indian chief thought the relationship with his sister had long since gone. What are the chances that Lewis and Clark would just happen to pick her up by some sort of trapper or whatever, did some sort of trade or whatever, and she came along and started to help them? Hundreds of miles later, crossed paths, God is able to uphold relationships.
Yes, he does.
There's nothing that is beyond what God is able to uphold. Amen? How about your hopes and dreams? I have to tell you right here now, we have three ladies who are part of an answer. A hope and a dream that Church on the Rock had when we first started here, that we would be able to minister to the workers, people who come here, who don't live on Fisher's Island, who are not part of the summer community. They are coming here, that Church on the Rock would be able to be a place for people to come worship and to be ministered to while they're away from home. Now it's 2008, and it's 2016 now. So God is able to uphold your dreams, your hopes. Do you hope for something? Are you willing to hope for something? Are you willing to dream for something? Sometimes there's something, can you imagine having a dream and then think it's long since gone? But God upholds it. He has not forgotten about it. He has not forgotten about the desire of your heart. The Bible says God will give you the desire of your heart. He's not forgotten about it. Just because it's not happening today. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, I better start cruising here. How about this for a second? How about the pursuit of holiness? You know, we've been pursuing a holy walk. We've wanted to be pure. We've wanted to walk in holiness. Amen? That's what all the ingredients are about, to help us succeed at this. How many have had a struggle with your pursuit of holiness? And maybe there's one part of it. Maybe it's your wandering thoughts. How come my thoughts won't come into subjection? Why does my tongue just keep doing that? Why do my emotions just rise up and go crazy all the time? Have you ever become hopeless about it or become discouraged about it? I want you to know that God is able to uphold us in our pursuit for holiness. Don't give up. He's the one who will enable us and uphold us. Don't give up on your wandering thoughts. Don't give up on your tongue doing whatever it wants. He'll uphold that desire for holiness. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Wild, crazy emotions. All right, how about protection? Do you think God is able to protect you? He's the upholder of all things. Can he uphold you? Let me just run down a few quick ones here. Have you ever heard of iron chariots? Iron chariots were a formidable weapon. They're like tanks. And these iron chariots were rushing upon Israel just as they came up against the Red Sea. What did God do? He opened the sea, of course. That's like if a bunch of people were trying to kill us with machine guns right now and we ran down to the ferry dock. You're completely trapped. You got nowhere to go. And what did God do? He opens Fisher's Island Sound, and you run through and you go on to the other side, and then he closes on in on all the guys with the machine guns. He's able to uphold you. He is able to be your protector. How about the fiery furnace? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they responded and said, "If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us." Amen? There are testimonies about people being lined up in front of a firing squad in modern day. So we're not just thinking this is just for back in Bible times. Modern day, in recent history, they're lined up, standing for Christ, and they're ready, and there's all these guns all aiming at them. Everybody know what happens next? Click, 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 click. No bullets. And then the guy who's in charge of saying, "Fire!" says, "All right, do your thing, get your gun straight, ready? Fire!" Click, 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 click. No bullets. Nothing goes off. It so affected the guy saying fire that he said, "We got to get out of here. We can't shoot this person." It's the same thing that they said. If there's a wise person who said in the early church that let's see what happens, because if this is God, we're going to find ourselves against God. So it'd be better to line yourself up with God than to be going against him. Amen? All right. How about now we're getting down to the real important ones. He's able to uphold his promise. Have you ever had anyone promise you? God is able to uphold his promise. If he said something, he will do it. Back in Genesis chapter 3, God told the serpent, he said, "I'm going to send a seed who you're going to bruise his heel, but he will crush your head." God promised that in the very beginning, and what happened thousands of years later? God sent his one and only begotten Son. And who's the serpent? Who's the serpent? The devil tried to kill the seed. Amen? But it was only a bruise. He did go into the grave, but God raised him up again. It was a bruise to Jesus' heel, but Jesus' heel came down on the serpent's head, didn't it? Because it said, greater is he, that he came to destroy the works of the evil one. Amen? God is able to keep his promise. Think about it. You look at the Bible, it's a book of promises. You look through the history of the Bible, look at where God said something, and it can be hundreds of years later, things come to pass. You can trust this God because he's an upholder of his promises. Has he ever promised you anything?
Yes, hallelujah.
What has he promised you? Hold on to his promises. Make your own book of promises. Write them down. Hold on to them. When it looks darkest, believe that God is able to fulfill his promises.
Yes, yes.
It's always darkest before the dawn. Don't give up. Trust God. He upholds his promises.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Salvation. Do you think God can keep you? Is he able to uphold salvation? Romans chapter 8, verse 38 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God."
Hallelujah. Yes,
he's able to uphold your salvation. Nobody can take you away from him.
Hallelujah.
Nobody can separate you from his love.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
How about his word? The word of God. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. "Then Jehovah said unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I watch over my word to perform it." God will look after his word. He will uphold his word. Amen? And finally, his covenant.
Hallelujah.
He is able to uphold his covenant.
Yes.
And this is interesting. He upheld the covenant, the new covenant, through the Father. How many believe that the Father will never drop the ball? The Father will never break the covenant. The Father will never break the covenant. Amen? Who breaks the covenant? The little weaklings who can't live up to our word and who can't get a hold of ourselves. So what did God do? He sent his one and only begotten Son to become flesh. Jesus became flesh so that he could walk as a representative of mankind and uphold the other side of the covenant, the other side of the binding agreement between the Creator and mankind. He is able to uphold the covenant. Amen? He upheld the covenant. All right. So the important thing to know is not the how. How does he do this? Because look at how he does stuff. Look at how intertwined. Their life is so complicated and intertwined. Who would have thought that Sacagawea's brother was going to be over here and over there and the trapper and the thief and all this? And has he done that in your life? Has he shown you how creative he is? Has he shown you? We don't need to know the how. The important thing that we need to know is that he upholds things.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
Not just that he wants to, he upholds things. Not just that he can, but he's too busy, he upholds things. Not that just he cares about everything, but he's bit off a little more than he can chew. He upholds things.
Yes.
He can do it, and he wants to do it. So the question being, what are you facing right now? What are you facing right now? One little thing, if you're facing something that you have to know, that it's by God's design. Listen, if you're facing something right now, and this should give you a tremendous sense of comfort,
yes,
because nothing fell through the cracks, because he upholds things.
Hallelujah.
If you're facing something right now, it's by his design.
Yes.
You are designed to be where you are in the situation that you are in by his design.
Hallelujah.
Because he upholds things. Nobody fell out of his hand. You're where you are by his design, and it's for a reason. The Bible says he uses all things, even where you are right now, for the good of those who love him. Amen? It's for our good in a bad situation. Alright, just this, he was able to uphold his end of things when he walked out of his father's, when he walked out his father's desires. Alright? Jesus lived up to his end. He said, yes, I will go, I will become a man, I will leave glory, I will come and be birthed and walk as a man. He lived up to his end. He upheld his end, didn't he? And he wants to do the same for you and for me. He wants to enable us as the author and finisher. He's able to uphold us. He's able to finish this mission in you and in me. It's been predestined that we be conformed into the image of Jesus. And he's able to uphold his end so that you and I can be like him and be upholders. Amen?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Thanks, God. Amen.
So I would just like for you to consider right now that if you've been up against something, if you've been struggling, if you're facing something, if you're worried about putting something in his hand, then to be able to trust.
I'm so sorry to interrupt.
No worries.
But I was pulling it up and we'll get that mode one. That wouldn't be a interruption.
No problem, Stephen. Appreciate you thinking. Yeah.
Again, pardon me.
No worries. are you having a hard time letting go of? Is it a relationship? Is it a worry about your future, security? What are you having a hard time trusting? I'm praying right now, and if you want, I'll pray for you. I'll just join my faith with yours. We can hold hands and we can believe together for a supernatural faith, something that will come up in us and enable us to put things into God's hands, the one who is able to uphold. Have you been holding on to something that you're afraid to release? Thank you, Lord. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you right now. I'm going to trust you right now, Lord. I pray for a release of the gift of faith right now in Jesus' name. That we are able to believe in the upholder of all things. In the mighty name of Jesus. We realize this is possible as we eat and drink these symbols of the body and blood of Jesus together. That he was the upholder on our behalf of the new covenant relationship between Creator God and mankind. In Jesus' name, amen.